Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another post-game episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, joined by Terry Cushman in probably a warmer spot in South Carolina, unless he's playing cribbage somewhere else. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Terry, where can the fans find you? And are you in South Carolina?
Yeah, if I got the Bastards banner behind me, I'm home. But
you don't take that with you on the road?
No.
Fair enough. That's fair play.
I'd have a Yankee.
Yeah, no. You're warmer than the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Red Sox dropped the last two of a 4-game set. They finished their homestand 5-5. You outscore the Orioles 25-10 and then get outscored 7-2 in the last two games. They are the most consistently inconsistent team, period, right now. This isn't the worst team in baseball. You know, that's being reserved right now by the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago White Sox, but we're teetering on the edge of almost unwatchable baseball for innings and games at a time. So there's a couple of fun statistics that I want to kind of share, but I'm going to let you take a minute here and share some notes yourself.
Yeah, so this team, it's just every aspect of it is mediocre or worse. We're not putting up runs on a nightly basis anymore. You go back to that Met series, we won two of the games with three runs or less. So the bats have been pretty cold. You did have that one game, the very first game against Baltimore, where we went nuts and scored 19 or something like that. But outside of that, we've been pretty cold. And the seventh inning or later, I think we only have three wins. So we're 3-24, I think, if we're trailing in the seventh inning or later. So this team has no balls. No balls whatsoever. There's no urgency. And when you really think about it, they don't know how to win. The only player on this team now that Bregman's hurt, with arguably, and I'm saying arguably, with a winning pedigree, is Raffy Devers in the lineup. Bueller, obviously, in the rotation. But that's it. Nobody on this team knows how to win. And look at when Devers came up. I pointed this out quite a while ago. When he was on that 2018 team, he was surrounded by Hall of Famers or perennial all-stars just all around him. You had Mookie and Benny in the outfield. Benintendi was still a good player at that point in his career. you know, Xander in the infield. Yeah, Xander was there. You had Mitch Moreland, solid veteran guy. You had David Price, Chris Sale in the rotation. Man, who does Seydon Rafaela have? Who's he surrounded by? You know, it's a far cry from what we used to be. And then you go to the manager. That was his only real winning season outside of 2021, which was a fluke. And you can make the argument right now that Cora can only lead a team to the postseason if it does have established stars on it. Other than that, he hasn't led us anywhere. He's led everybody to their couches every October. Besides that. And then, you know, John Henry has a lot of philosophical issues that have been a problem. And I don't think we're going to October this year. I'm pretty confident of that. You don't have a great pitching staff, and even if they do keep their heads above water, they don't have the run support from this very young, very green, very streaky lineup. Right. I don't see a pathway to October at this point.
Yeah. So I want to go over a couple of statistics just to like put everything into perspective, because for those that are listening to Terry saying, wow, you're being really negative, it's only May 25th. Like, there's still June, July, August, September, part of October. Here are the facts. In the month of May, the team is 10-13. In their last homestand, they went 5-5 over that 10-game set. You have had a total of 7 starts where your starters have been able to go 6 innings or more. I'm not counting the Dobbins 5 2/3 game in there, and I'm not counting the 5 1/3 that Crochet probably should have gotten that 6 innings. He didn't get it. Bayo has done it one time. Hauk has done it one time. Dobbins has done it one time. You got Crochet twice. You have Giolito twice. What else do you want to know? In those 23 games, the Red Sox starters have registered 6 losses and 2 wins. The only wins that have come from starters were on May 10th and May 11th against the Kansas City Royals. That means you have gone a stretch of 15 days and you have either started a game and not gotten a decision, or you've started the game and taken the L. We have 15 no decisions from our starters in the month of May so far. What else do you want to know? We have been able to actually score 8 runs or more only a handful of times in the month. One of those times, you were able to get that win. The other, you weren't. Bayo did not get the win when the Red Sox dropped 19 runs on Baltimore. He only went 4 innings. The last time that the Red Sox had more than 7 innings before that game from Giolito was Crochet back May 16th. So 10 days have gone by, essentially, and you've had one starter that can give you 7 or 6 or more than 5 1/3. Your bullpen is getting taxed exponentially, and it's May 25th. Your starters can't give you a quality start. We honestly don't know what would have happened to Walker Buehler the day that he got ejected. He only gave you 2 1/3 against the Mets back on May 20th. So maybe there's a chance that he would have gotten you 6. He goes 85, 86 pitches, I think, today. 5 innings. That's it. Gave up a couple of runs. One of them was a solo shot. And then I think Weissert gave up a solo home run not long after that. Your starters aren't giving you anything. Like, they're not giving you a quality start. A couple years ago, I said, man, what I would do for a quality start. You can't even average 1 every rotation, every 5 games. That's not good. Like, if you're depending on, and if you throw Crochet out of that, that means that you've had 5 quality starts in the month of May. That's it, outside of Crochet. And I know people want to give Giolito crap. He's responsible for 2 of those as well. So remove Giolito, who I love. Remove Garrett Crochet, who I thought was going to be the Cy Young, assuming we could actually get some run support for him. You have had no starter go more than six innings since May 9th. I'm at a loss for words. You don't have relievers that are plug and chug for two plus innings. You now have to have three, four relievers in addition to your starter to get a win. That's not sustainable. Splitting the series against the Baltimore Orioles, one of the worst teams in the American League, and by worst teams, I mean they're the second worst team in the American League, only to the Chicago White Sox, by a game and a half. You can't split the series against that team. You have to take three out of four. Baseline, you're splitting the series. But I've been saying for a while, unless the small things on this team actually get perfected, this team is going nowhere. And it's so disappointing to say that, because I thought that this team was going to be the AL pennant winners. You know, you had, and here's the thing, you had these like freak plays, you know, Narvaez had a home run that got robbed by Kjerstad. You had, you know, a couple of unlucky like double play balls and whatnot. But just game four, the fourth game of this series, Duran has four of your 10 hits. You drew one walk, and then you had three other players have two hits. Narvaez had two hits and a walk. You had Mayer have a single in his first extra base hit. Toro had a single and a double as well. He knocked in the only run, which was in the ninth inning. The other thing about this game and just this team, you talked about it. You talked about the playoff pedigree. You talked about the players with tenure. And now this is going to happen. There's going to be growing pains from the Christian Campbells. You could put Hamilton in there if you want. Marcelo Mayer is in there. You know, Toro, who really hasn't had more than a couple cups of coffee at the major league level. Roman Anthony's knocking on the door. This team is going to have to go through growing pains. It's really annoying and really frustrating when you see Marcelo Mayer make a mistake, or Willy Abreu, who also hasn't been in the league all that long, make a mistake. But there's absolutely no, there's no excuse for why those last two runs came across. That was a double, and it should have been second and third. Field the ball cleanly, and both of those runners are still on base. Maybe they score. Maybe they don't. We don't know what's going to happen. But to have that two-base error, unacceptable. There are so many situations right now for this team that are unacceptable. You can't afford to make mistakes. You have, if there's a runner at second with no outs, right now, your job should be bunting to get that runner over to third, because we're not good enough as a team to score runs on a consistent basis. And that sucks to say. The Boston Red Sox have to bunt with a runner on second, regardless of the situation, because we're not good enough to score runs. We're not consistent.
You know, nobody really said this, but coming into the season, but one thing that couldn't happen was you couldn't lose Bregman and you couldn't lose Devers for a significant amount of time.
Here we are.
That's would be catastrophic. And it hurts, especially even though Devers is a little bit more off the charts this year offensively, it hurts to lose Bregman from the right side of the plate. And so who do you trust in this lineup? You've got Duran, you've got Devers, and I think that's it. You've got Narvaez. We're trying to figure out how high the ceiling could be. It could be really high.
He's doing great. He's doing very well.
He might be your third best hitter. So now if I go back to March before the season started and I told you Carlos Narvaez would be your third best hitter, and you know, as you're getting to the end of May, what would you think? Uh-oh.
You're in big trouble. You know, yeah. And just to give you like a little bit of like extra, you know, damn it behind you. Do you remember our former catcher, Reese Hoskins? Or not Reese Hoskins, sorry. Reese McGuire. I'm thinking of a different person.
Yeah.
Reese McGuire, two home runs today.
Two? Wow. I knew about the first one.
The first one, because everyone talked about it. He's got two today.
Yeah.
How many home runs does Connor Wong have?
Probably none.
I'm pretty sure it's zero.
Yeah.
And Reese McGuire has two in his first game of 2025. That's been the story of the 2025 Boston Red Sox.
That has been the story. I don't know where you can really go at this point. I mean, I think you just have to call up the kids, let them figure it out. You know, it's so, and I'm guilty, because, and I think you are as well. We had the Red Sox not only making the playoffs, but going pretty deep. But yeah. And so that's obviously probably not going to happen at this point. But so many people, I think, falsely assume that when the kids got called up, the rebuild was over. But there's still more development to be had even after they get called up. And so to put all your eggs, or most of your eggs, in the basket of our big three are going to come up and be major players this year, philosophically, that was a major error in judgment.
Yeah, slowly but surely, it's looking like worse and worse. So one of our writers here, Jessica Kuzris-McGuire, with now is with the Cubs, and you know, I believe last I checked, they were winning that game. So unless a crazy comeback happened, they blew up in the second half of that game. The one issue that I'm still struggling with is, you know, you've not replaced Bregman with anyone substantial. And the fact that Narvaez is one of your better hitters, I mean, it's looking like another steal from the Yankees. It kind of feels like Garrett Whitlock in year one, because people haven't figured him out. But you're getting, you know, you're having some major issues, because not only are your, you know, one of your superstar players, you know, is injured, is out for the, you know, foreseeable future. Some of the players that blew up last year have been like, you know, you haven't been getting much from them. You know, you've had some kind of defensive Marvel plays, and that's adorable and stuff, but that doesn't translate to wins. So if this team isn't able to figure it out, like, I don't know if bringing up all the kids is the right play. I'm still trying to figure out why Vaughn Grissom hasn't had a chance up here. I mean, Toro is doing Toro things, which is interesting, because I didn't think he was going to be doing much of anything in 2025. And he's become somewhat relevant, not the, you know, best player on this team by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, we've got to figure it out, and we have to figure it out soon. I don't know what this team needs to do. I picked the Boston Red Sox to be AL East champs, AL pennant champs, against the Dodgers, and I'm eating so much crow for that right now. Until they do it, I can't pick them. I mean, it's awful. I mean, this game, I don't blame people that say I can't watch this team, it's unwatchable, it's a waste of 3 hours. I completely understand why you say that, because when things go the way that they have for the Boston Red Sox in certain games, you're like, yeah, after four innings, I know this one's over. You know, it's done, because we're not hitting. We're not playing smart baseball. We can't do the small things well. We can't even do the small things at all. Like, we're not able. I mean, what's the name of their shortstop? Rushman's their catcher who got a concussion. Henderson, right? Yeah. Henderson turns a 6-3 double play, makes it look like it's smooth. It's like butter, right? He's having a bit of a crapshoot year right now. A lot of their players are, but they're still able to do the small things well. We can't even get that right. Like, it's just, it's awful. Like, I love watching, you know, I love watching baseball. I love watching the Red Sox, but it's hard. It's getting trying, and it's May 25th. I don't blame people that say I can't watch this team right now. It's great to see a blowout, but at what cost? You know, like, your starter can't even get you five innings. Forget about six. Starters, the expectation, you ask like the starters from like the 80s and the 90s, the expectation for a starter was to go nine innings. And if you couldn't go nine, at least get them there, go eight. Now the expectation is give us the best you got, because the best you got is probably emptying the tank at 90 pitches, 85 to 95 pitches, and you're going five plus. If you can average 15 pitches an inning you can go six innings somewhere in the 90 range, but we're just teetering on 90 and we're at four plus, maybe five. So you're averaging 18 to 20 pitches an inning and you're getting rocked because we're trying to throw too many strikeouts. We're not pitching to contact. We're not trusting our infielders. I understand, but you got to do something else, because if you just try to get strikeouts the whole time, you're going to have 110 pitch count and you're in the fifth inning. You know, you've got to be able to have some faith in your infielders to try to turn two. If there's a runner at first, don't be blowing by fastballs. Throw off speed, throw splitters, throw sinkers, throw sliders, throw something that's going to be on the ground so that way you can turn two. Like, man, do I miss Derek Lowe. Derek Lowe had a runner on first, and I'm like, well, I mean, you can try and steal, but there's a pretty good chance he's going to get him doubled out. We don't have an elite sinker. And they were talking about Brian Baio when he was starting. Lou Maloney was talking about this, about how one of his pitches had increased in velocity almost 3 miles per hour. And because of that 3 mile an hour increase in speed, it actually is no longer dipping 2.5 inches. So that off speed pitch, or that pitch that had a lot more movement because it's a stronger pitch in the sense of speed first, it's not an unhittable pitch. And they're looking for it because it's almost looking like a two seam fastball with just a hair of movement, and they're making more contact with it. That was an out pitch for Baio. It's not anymore. So he's not the same pitcher that he was last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. And that's, those are the little things that if you're Andrew Bailey, you have got to look at that and say, okay, that didn't work. Let's change it back, or let's revert back to like the old standard of where you were. Don't throw that pitch so hard, put the movement back into it and confuse hitters. Because if they're looking for one or two pitches and that's all they're going to see and all they're going to get, yeah, you're not going to go five innings and you're probably going to allow five or six runs. We're probably going to lose that game. The games that Garrett Crochet starts, not only do we need to win, because you're hoping that we can split the rest of the series, you know, the rest of that five game rotation, you have to win Crochet. If you don't win Crochet, you're already up against the wall. You've now increased the level of difficulty and you know, the pressure on the rest of the team to win three of the next four. I know that's a lot of pressure on Crochet. Don't get me wrong. I love Crochet. I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, but I look at him as an elite guy. I look at Crochet as someone who is one of the top pitchers in all of baseball. He should win almost every single game in my mindset. I think he's that freaking good. I really do. The rest of the starters in this rotation are not Garrett Crochet. Not even close. So if you win two of those four, you're in better shape. But right now, brutal. It is brutal.
Just looking ahead at the schedule, it gets pretty tough. The Brewers aren't, I think they're sub 500. Let's see. Yeah, the two games under. They do have a winning record at home. They're 15 and 10, 11 and 18 on the road. So they're getting killed there. But that could be a series where I don't have the matchups up. We have Crochet, and then it's sounding like Richard Fitz on Tuesday. And then I'm not sure who would go after that. It wouldn't be Dobbins, Giolito.
After Crochet and before, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, Giolito the way that they have the lineup. What I have for the Milwaukee series is Crochet against Patrick, TBD against Savali, and then Baio against Peralta. But before Baio was, it was, you know, Crochet before, you know, they rearranged the order again. I think
Baio wouldn't be, he'd be one day short of 5 days of rest.
Right.
So I don't know what they'll do there.
I don't know.
Then we have Atlanta after that. They're 5-5. So they're not tearing it. How are they at home? I'm going to be at the first two games of that series, by the way.
Nice.
The Braves are probably one of the better home teams in MLB, 16-8.
Right. And they started off 0-7 to start the year. They were in really, really big trouble, and they've been able to turn around to the point where, when last time that you and I were talking, they were a 600 baseball team. And, you know, if you start, you know, remove that 7-game set, they're 25-19 right now. So not the best team in baseball, but better than the Red Sox. You know, no team is safe as far as the Red Sox facing them. You're facing Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a decent team. They're middle of the pack. Atlanta, same thing. I think I'm the only one that picked Atlanta to win the division. I think everybody else picked Philly. And then after that, you've got the Angels and the Yankees. The Angels are also middle of the pack, and then the Yankees are leading the AL East. I think they're the second best team in the American League. So, yeah, we're in trouble. We're not going to have a 500 set for the next 12 games. You know, like it's tough. We're probably going to lose 2 out of 3 against New York. Worst case scenario, Atlanta, you probably lose 2 out of 3. Milwaukee, maybe you get 2 out of 3 there, and that splits those two series. But we're not able to win series. If you can't, I mean, we won the Atlanta series, or excuse me, the Mets series. We split Baltimore. That's not a win. You lost against Atlanta. You got swept against Detroit. Yes, you won against Kansas City. But I mean, you have to keep going. You can't just say, okay, we won that series. We won that series. Now we can coast. You can't afford to coast. You can't do it.
Yeah. And then coming up, we've got the Rays twice. Nobody's talking about the Rays. They're at 500 now. They've won 5 in a right. row to get there. So that's been the team I've been worried about all year long. Just
right.
too quiet. They got that second baseman, Aranda, I think his last name is, just off the charts.
Yep.
Crazy. But so you got them coming up. You got the Yankees twice in the first part of June. And you're the furthest thing away. Like, this was your get right week, and then we don't really have a brutally tough week ahead of us with the Brewers and the Braves based on how they're playing lately. So you right. could have kind of carried this in, got everything kind of somewhat in line, and maybe been ready to take on the Rays and the Yankees. But I just don't see how we're going to do it. And like, half of the lineup doesn't know what position they're going to be playing the next night. A lot of them are streaky as hell. I mean, Campbell today, I mean, they were just showing you the blueprint to beat him. Just throw 2 pitches tightly inside and then a slider away. And he's either going to chase it or, in one case, struck out looking. So I just... we're just so green. We're unprepared. I don't think Alex Cora is really leading this team the way it needs to be. You know, he's running it like a nursery school. Nobody, there's no tenacity. I gave the stat early on. You've only got 3 wins beyond the 7th inning. When you're down, you've only come from behind 3 times and ended up winning. That's a lot. The other, 24 losses, you just laid there like a dead fish and didn't have any fight. You know, they sleepwalk on their way to the plate, then they go back, and I just don't know what you do. I mean, Peter Fatsy, part of it falls on him. I think Andrew Bailey has a little bit of blame here. Alex Cora, I just think... it's too bad. It's too bad that last year was Alex Cora's walk year and not this year. Because if it was this year,
right.
He'd be fired.
So let me ask you something. Not looking. Where do you think the Red Sox are with runs scored in Major League Baseball? What number do you think they are?
It's higher than you would expect. Probably
higher than you would expect.
7th or 8th. Yeah, I would say.
6th. What teams do you think are higher up on the list? They're all obvious.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the Dodgers. How shocking this is. Dodgers?
Yankees? Mariners?
Close, no. The other 3, the Cubs, the Tigers, and the Diamondbacks. Okay. Diamondbacks crushing it. Tigers, best team in the American League. Chicago Cubs are being led by a player that the Mets discarded, which is insane. Like, Pete Crow Armstrong is going to have 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases. That guy is absolutely torching Major League Baseball. He's crushing everything. He was a Dodger killer earlier this year. Anybody who doesn't know Pete Crow Armstrong, take notes now. That guy's going to be an absolute star in Major League Baseball. He's going to be one of the faces of the sport. He's absolutely incredible. But you're 6th in Major League Baseball in runs scored, and you are under 500. Make that make sense.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. You know, that's why this is the most consistently inconsistent team, I think, in Major League Baseball. You know, you look at those teams that are above. It's crazy that the Diamondbacks are also one game under 500. The Cubs are 32-21. They're playing 604 baseball. The Dodgers are 12 games over, 615. Yankees 11 games over, 608. The Tigers are 14 over, playing 630. And then the Diamondbacks and Red Sox are one game each under 500. They've played two less games than we have. And it's just ridiculous.
We're six games back of the division. You know, it was for a while, there was the excuse, well, you're only two or three games back. Well, now it's six. At the end of the week, yeah, it could be eight or nine. And things need to be shaken up. And even the front office, I mean, I try not to go too hard on Breslow because I think he has done a lot for the pitching infrastructure. I think he did make some good moves last winter, but I don't like him. I don't think he handles business. I think he rubs people the wrong way, possibly. Yeah. I can't believe I'm about to give this take, but if I had to pick between having a beer with Craig Breslow or Heim Bloom, even though I hated Heim and he was probably the worst executive of my lifetime, at least with the stuff that he did at the major league level, I'd probably choose Heim just because he's got a good vibe and Breslow is just curmudgeon-y, no personality whatsoever. And I just don't like the way he handles business.
Yeah. I mean, Terry, think about it. Which one of those two do you think is respected by not only their own franchise, but like other names and other teams around baseball? Heim didn't wait very long before he got another job. Do you think that Craig Breslow is going to get another job after Boston? I don't.
Not at his current position, unless things really change. I think he would have a job as like a pitching guru in a front office,
sure,
you know, in an assistant role again, because I think we are kind of seeing those results right now. But yeah, I just don't know. I mean, you got so many problems and you would want a seasoned executive to tackle those. And I don't think he knows what to do.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's just so bad. And you got that front office with all those holdovers from all the way back to the Epstein era, O'Halloran, Romero, and Ferreira. I can't imagine they're gonna get this all sorted out. I mean, it's taking on water. Doesn't look like there's any solutions. The lineup is grossly unbalanced. There's not a lot of experience there. The rotation, as you pointed out, we've gone six innings seven times in the month of May, and the month's almost over.
Yep.
It's just a mediocre baseball team. And with that run scored stat, I'd be curious to know what it would have been. Like, let's say we score three runs that 19 run game against Baltimore, then where are we at with 16 less? So
hold on, say that again. Against, so I'm looking at that sheet that I just kind of compiled like a stat, which if we'd only scored three runs in that game.
Yeah. So knock off 16 runs.
Okay.
Then where we'd be at?
We're 9-14 in the month of May. And instead of one game under 500, we're, let's see, we'd be three games under technically because we're 27-28. We'd be 26-29. We'd be seven games out.
Yeah. I'm just pulling up that one stat. Just give me a second. Mm-hmm. Hitting now. Where's the month of May? There it is. Runs scored. All right. So we've scored 103 runs in May. So take 16 runs off of that game. That would be 87. That knocks us all the way down to 18th or 19th, excuse me. So, you know, I think there's been some deceptors in there that kind of make us look a little bit better. We had another game with like 20 or so runs. It was disgusting. So I don't know. So who we got tomorrow? Garrett Crochet versus who?
Let me check real quick.
Yeah, neither one of us are on it.
No, I closed out of everything. Yeah. So the first game of this one, we have Crochet against Patrick. So Patrick from Milwaukee, Chad Patrick, is a 2-4 guy with a 3.23 ERA, 45 strikeouts. He has a 1.26 whip. Not crazy, but against Baltimore, also has a case of the Boston Red Soxes. 4 2/3, a run on 4 hits, 7 punch outs, but he had done, you know, he's had 2 quality starts in the month of May. He's consistently allowing 2 or 3 runs. Before that one run game on the 21st of May, this is someone who had allowed 2 runs or more in 6 straight. So Crochet should win this game.
Theoretically, I mean, whenever I see a guy who hasn't been, I'd never heard of Chad Patrick until literally 2 seconds ago.
Same here.
Yep. Yeah. How many innings pitched? 53, and how many strikeouts? So less than 1 strikeout per inning. And coming off of they just faced Baltimore also. He gave up just 1 earned to them. And then against the
pretty quiet.
The White Hot Twins right now got 3 runs on him. He only struck out 2. So he's not a guy that can blow you away. All 3 pitchers we are facing are right-handed. So shouldn't be any limitations with the lineup. Alex Cora can put out any alignment he wants. I'm just wondering on the second game there with Savali. Is he an opener?
No, Savali's a starter.
Okay. Well, he's only had 2, and he went 3 innings the first time, 4 the second. So I guess we'll just have to see. But
yeah, he's a big guy in Cleveland back in the day. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
That is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We hope you have a cheery rest of your day. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
E-commerce business owners know the best way to run a successful business is to keep their customers happy. You build trust with your customers one package at a time. That's why smart retailers use ShipStation. ShipStation helps you run the smoothest order fulfillment process possible and cut costs, not corners. ShipStation streamlines all your orders from everywhere you sell into one easy-to-use dashboard, prints shipping labels, manages returns, and tracks inventory. You can even automate repetitive tasks so your team makes fewer errors. Plus, they get you the lowest possible carrier rates. You'll save up to 88% off UPS, USPS, and DHL Express, and up to 90% off FedEx rates. When shoppers choose to buy your products, turn them into loyal customers with cheaper, faster, and better shipping. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. There's no credit card or contract required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.